In 1992, Arizona voters decided by a wide margin to amend the state constitution to make a legislative-approved tax increase impossible without lawmakers approving that increase by at least a two-thirds margin. And lawmakers would need a three-fourths vote to override a governor's veto of a proposed tax hike. Next month, voters will determine whether they also want to limit any future introduction of a tax on services in Arizona. Those services would include things like real estate transactions, doctor visits, and pet grooming. That measure is known as Proposition 126. And with me to debate the measure are David Lujan of the Arizona Center for Economic Progress and Patrick Lewis of the Arizona Association of Realtors. And Patrick, why do you believe that Arizona needs Prop 126?
Well, we came up with came out in support of the proposition, obviously. It is something that we have battled down at the Capitol for about 7 years now. And we firmly believe that small businesses and service-oriented businesses who are already paying taxes should not have the possibility of being double taxed. So we feel this is something that that is needed right now.
And David, your concerns about Prop 126?
Yeah, a lot of concerns that it creates special protections from taxation for special industries while not giving those to other businesses. And at the same time, it's going to slash funding for schools, public safety, and roads. And, you know, we've been a state for over 100 years, and we've made it through that time without the need for this constitutional provision. And those services have not been taxed, and I don't see any danger of them being taxed in the future.
Well, tell me specifically how it would affect schools.
Well, what it does is it takes certain options off the table in terms of taxation. And as our tax base is, our sales tax base has been shrinking over the years. And so this would, for example, if you were to buy Microsoft Office for your home computer 5 years ago, you would have gone into Best Buy and you would have purchased a CD and paid sales tax for that. Well, nowadays, if you get Microsoft Office, you're downloading it from the cloud, and that's going to be considered a service, and you wouldn't pay. So that's how our sales tax base is shrinking. And the more it shrinks, and you won't be able to tax this if this proposition passes, and that's going to mean less money for education and anything else that we need revenue for.
Patrick, do you have a response to that?
Well, yeah, the existing proposition does not affect existing funding in any way. So the funds that are there now will still be available. And I really believe that a service tax to put money towards education is a zero-sum game because you're looking to give money to a group that really these services that we use, daycare, veterinary services, plumbers, electricians, all those will now cost more. So we really feel that that's a zero-sum game, especially since this does not affect any existing revenue. And it was pretty clear that Governor Ducey can find the money. I mean, he found the money for the Red for Ed movement within about a week. So we believe the revenue is there.
So you see the commercials and it talks about, you know, we're going to tax veterinary services and daycare and childcare and those types of things. I'm guessing the reason that they're doing that is because that polls very well, that people, Arizonans, including myself, would never want to see those things taxed. And that is exactly why it's unlikely that it would ever be taxed, because in Arizona, to tax those things in our legislature, we already have a provision in the Constitution that would require a two-thirds vote of the legislature. That was passed by voters back in 1992. The legislature has not passed any tax increases since that time. And I'll tell you, you know, as a former legislator, I remember back in 2008, we were going through the worst recession in state's history. We had a $1 billion hole to climb out of. And I remember Governor Brewer back then saying we needed to have all options on the table to get us out of that hole. And when you don't have all those options on the table, and because we had some legislators back then that didn't want to consider certain things, we ended up with over $1 billion in cuts to public schools. We eliminated funding for community colleges, all sorts of things. So that's what happens when you don't have options on the table.
Patrick, let me come back to the two-thirds idea from the legislature that David brought up. You also have a current governor, and I know this would affect things down the road as well, but a current governor who said he wants to get income tax to as close to zero as possible. He's clearly not a pro-tax hike governor. So I'm wondering at this point, why is the timing right for this, even in the situation, even if it really were a good idea for Arizona, why now?
Well, the last bill was run as a revenue neutral bill. So therefore, it did not require the two-thirds majority. So that was a way for them to sidestep that rule. So since that has happened, that is why we some of those tactics have been used. That is why we feel now is the time then that we should really have a constitutional amendment so that those that provide these services who are already paying income tax aren't doubly taxed.
Now, since the Association of Realtors is such a strong supporter, I'm going to ask you specifically on this. Why would the Realtors group feel this way. If, in fact, this would affect education, one would think that as a realtor, makes Arizona and Phoenix a much more attractive place if we have more highly educated people who can afford nicer homes, for example.
Absolutely. And we support education. We support teachers. We support that funding. However, again, we feel that it's a zero-sum game. If you're looking for money for education, yet then all of these services that are used by those teachers, it costs them more. Also, in relation to realtors, realtors are a huge part of our communities, and we're purveyors of the American dream. We're the only group down at the Capitol that is lobbying for homeownership, for private property rights. And so we feel that, again, that the revenue is there and that small businesses should not be used as another revenue source when they're already paying taxes.
David?
Well, but again, yeah, we've made it for over 100 years in our state without a tax on realty services, and I don't see any danger, especially with the two-thirds vote requirement, that we ever will see an increase, because you would just never get the legislative support to do it. But what it does say is that certain businesses are going to get protections while others won't. If you're a mom-and-pop bookstore or hardware store, you're not going to get the special protections that these other industries will get. And I think that's why you're seeing Governor Ducey and David Garcia both oppose this proposition. What do you get them to agree on anything these days? And you've got Republican and Democratic mayors, and it's not just politicians. It's firefighters, teachers, the Arizona Nonprofit Alliance, the Arizona Interfaith. They've all come out against it because they see that this is just not good for Arizona.
Patrick?
I think there's also some misleading information out there in regards to some of these, this initiative. For instance, the Grand Canyon report that just came out, Grand Canyon Institute report that just came out, really wrongly classified bars, restaurants as services that would be omitted from the tax. Well, they're omitted from the tax now. The Department of Revenue decides who is taxed, not the Grand Canyon Institute. So they took a lot of liberties with that. And so I want to make sure the right information is out there. And I have no doubt that most politicians are going to be against this. They've been trying to get it passed for the last 7 years. And again, we just don't feel that small businesses should be a revenue source.
The one thing I'd say about the Grand Canyon Institute report, it shows that there's a lot of uncertainty about how this is written, because there's a number of legislative attorneys and experts that feel that some of the taxes that are already in the books, for example, for Prop 301, which goes to teacher salaries, when that extension goes into effect in 2021, that some of those things are not going to be able to be taxed anymore if Prop 126 passes, and that will be a direct hit to teacher salaries to the tune of $250 million.
Patrick, you shook your head on this
one. That's absolutely not true. This has no effect on Prop 301. Prop 301 was approved prior to December 31st, 2017, so that TPT tax will still stay in place. Again, 126 does not affect any revenue or tax that is in place right now.
Here's the thing, though, about that. So, yes, the legislature did pass that last session, but it doesn't go into effect until 2021 when the current Prop 301 expires. And there's already the Arizona Legislative Council that has interpreted that as saying that will not take effect until 2021. So it'll be considered a new law at that time. And so, indeed, Prop 126, if it passes, will impact those funds. And that, as Grand Canyon Institute said, could be $250 million annually cut to teacher salaries.
Well, I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree about that.
In any way, is this a solution in search of a problem at this point?
I don't believe so, no. We continue to see that as we move towards more services, which I think is great, there will be opportunities for revenue, there will be opportunities for taxes, but to have services that such a wide swath as defined by the Department of Revenue that affects consumers and their everyday lives, that's where, again, being the only group down there advocating for home ownership and private property rights, we feel that this is necessary and the right time to do it.
Someone who's been down at the state capitol and we're going through a huge budget crisis as we were a decade ago, you need all tools on the table. It doesn't mean that they're going to raise taxes on services, but it gives them options that we need to have. And so that's why Prop 126 is a bad idea.
David Lujan, Patrick Lewis, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.